Good morning, everyone. On a Wednesday, there's tons of stuff to discuss today. Michael Riedel has the day off. Good morning to you, Noam Layden.
Good morning right back at you, Len.
You know, I thought I could have sworn that was the president's voice on Bob Woodward's tape saying that I intentionally downplayed the coronavirus. I think that was the president, right?
Well, and your point is?
Because last night he said, oh, I upplayed it.
He used the word upplayed?
Does he you know, you guys are always, especially Joe, always picking on Biden and his mental capabilities. You think the president forgot that that's actually his voice on the Woodward tape saying I intentionally downplayed the virus?
What, do we have some of this tape? Can I hear what it sounds like?
Natalie will get it up for
okay.
you.
Okay, all right.
She's gonna upplay it or downplay it. She's gonna play something.
I think, Len, what he said was he upplayed it in terms of his actions.
Here comes Mr. Pretzel. Here, twist away.
I watched it last night. He talked about his
really?
Actions. He said, yeah. He said, I didn't want to scare people, didn't want to panic people, but in terms of my actions, I upplayed it.
Oh, man. Well, that's just what I want to do, get to a semantic discussion with this guy. Our big three stories, the president claims he upplayed the virus, did not downplay it. It was a town hall in Philadelphia. Earlier in the day, Israel, the UAE, and Bahrain signed diplomatic agreements at the White House. We'll need to discuss this one, and we have Jordana Miller in Jerusalem at 7:35 to see how this is all playing over there. Also in the big three is Joe had in the news that fire in a house in Astoria, not far from where I grew up, and bomb-making materials were found. Lots of questions about this guy, although he hasn't been identified yet. And rounding out the big three, well, the city council is going to vote on a 10% restaurant surcharge today. That's going to help out the restaurant industry if it goes through. And the governor said he's not canceling trick-or-treating. It's up to the parents. So we were wondering about that the other day. They're going to have trick-or-treating. And the governor says, I'm not going to come out with a proclamation.
Why would that be unsafe, right? I think you're all outside. You're throwing candy into a bag. I think that's fine. No?
Yeah. Can't well, you obviously, they're wearing masks, so...
Right.
Hey, you know what?
Right, that's true.
It's so nice of the governor to allow us to do that. I mean, he is really such a nice guy. I mean, you know, letting us live our lives just a little bit. Right. What a guy.
So, a little inside baseball today. You know, we have a little format, and we write down our big three stories and some of the other stories we're going to do. And so I wrote down, you know, some of the things I just mentioned, the big three. And then all of a sudden, somebody on the staff writes in big red letters under the big three, 100 days until Christmas. Now, I'm guessing that's associate producer Anthony, because, you know, if I had to wonder if he cares about peace in the Middle East,
no.
If he cares about politics, if he cares about, you know, trick-or-treat, no, right. Restaurants, he doesn't care about any of that. It's 100 days till Christmas. Now we're talking news here, folks.
Right. Well, at least it's something to look forward to. I mean, 2020's been an awfully long year, so thank God Christmas is coming.
Now, Natalie said, this is crazy. You already bought a Christmas present? I mean, come, Natalie, really?
I did, 100 days before Christmas. I've already started shopping.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I know. I was very excited. My daughter had mentioned something that she wanted.
All right.
She didn't have enough money to get it right now. So I said, send me the link.
Really? You have all the money in the world to pay for this stuff?
Well, she did. She doesn't have it. She's in college. Yeah, so.
Hey, so now we know the Christmas show's canceled at Radio City. Are there any other, you know, COVID implications of Christmas 2020, do we think?
Oh, Christmas tree lighting, I'm sure, is not going to happen in a traditional way.
Is anyone going to go sit on Santa's lap? Probably not.
You can. No, you can't sit on it.
That would
be
bad. Oh, that's sad.
I always thought that was a bad idea anyway. I always thought that was kind of creepy to begin with.
I agree, yeah.
But I'm Jewish. What do I know?
But when you really, you go by, 90% of the kids are screaming and crying anyway. They don't look like they're very happy.
The parents just want that picture, right?
They want the picture.
Oh, boy. So, I don't know. You tell me. Who is this person?
To be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Say something about downplaying. And then last night at the town hall on ABC.
Well, I didn't downplay it. I actually, in many ways, I upplayed it in terms of action. My action was very strong.
Yeah,
because what I did was with China, I put a ban on. With Europe, I put a ban on.
What do you want him to say? Right? He sent ventilators out. He sent out the USS Comfort here to New York. He did everything in his power to try to stop the virus from spreading in places like New York. So what else do you want from him?
You know, a little honesty and straightforwardness, I think, would go a long way if you want to know the truth. You know, listen, whatever he did, he did. It's just that it doesn't bother you. Apparently not. I know it doesn't bother Joe. It doesn't bother you that he's never, ever, ever, ever wrong, or will never, ever, ever, ever admit he didn't do things perfectly.
Well, he
explained. Every phone call was perfect.
Yeah.
Every action was perfect.
Yeah.
He's the most perfect human being who's ever walked the face of the earth.
No.
And none of that bothers you, right?
Yeah, look, does he have flaws? Of course he does. But he explained why, in that conversation with Woodward, why he didn't want to panic people until he knew exactly what was going on. And when he did let the nation know what was going on, we went into lockdown and we probably saved a lot of lives. And when we weren't doing great here in New York, he was the first one to come in and rescue us, right? The USS Comfort sent here, ventilator sent here. He's warp speed with the vaccine. Look, at the end of October, November, there might be a vaccine that'll be ready to go. Maybe people will be rolling up their sleeves in January. He's done a lot.
Okay, if you say so. I think most rational thinking people would say that if he had done a little bit more, a little bit earlier, when he really knew how bad this thing was, we would have
like
saved
what?
A lot more lives.
Like what?
But of course, you'll never go there.
Like,
I'm sure Joe wants to chime in here.
No. Like, what should he have done, Len?
Could have done 100 different things. Do you want me to really go through the whole list, or should we get some doctors on to explain what he could have done?
Give me one thing. Lock down
just
the country.
Just one thing. What's that? Yeah, well, he could have locked down the country. He could have done masks. You know, he to this day flouts mask Joe, and you guys just ignore it. I mean, if he showed some leadership when it comes to masks and all of his followers, did you hear those interviews with those people who think they're not going to wear masks? They think it's all a joke. They think coronavirus is a fraud and masks don't do anything. Where does that come from, do you think, Joe? It comes from the president himself. And if he showed some leadership in that area, I think a lot more lives would have been saved. And for you not to understand that or agree to that just means you've just drunk a lot of orange Kool-Aid, pal.
He explained the mask thing last night, and he said, you know what, and even Fauci said this stuff too. He said, masks are okay, but a lot of people misuse the mask. You know, they're touching their hands, they're touching the mask, and that's you don't do that. It spreads the germs. And so it's not like, 100% safe. Anyway.
Well, no one said it was 100% safe, but my goodness. All right, here's a little bit more about the mask.
The concept of a mask is good, but it also does, you're constantly touching it, you're touching your face, you're touching plates. There are people that don't think masks are good.
I think they asked him who doesn't think it's good. I think he said waiters.
That's exactly what he said. Look, here's something I will agree with you, Len, on, is the reason he will lose this race, if he does it, lose the race for the White House, is the fact that he did not put on a mask. Because most Americans, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, if they're out on the streets, if they're in a restaurant, if they're among other people, they have a mask on. And they want to see the president wearing a mask as well. And I'm upset with him that he has not done it from day one. It is a huge mistake, and I think it'll be the mistake if he's undone. That will be the reason he's undone. It doesn't win another 4 years. It'll be because he did not put a mask on.
Now, that's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of weakness that he's
caving. Are you serious?
Do you believe that?
Yeah. No, in terms
you really
of the
believe
president,
that?
No. Look, I wear a mask. I think it's a good thing that everybody wears masks. But I think in terms of the president of the United States, we don't want to see him covering or cowering. We want the president of the United States to be strong and to show us leadership. And he's...
And wearing a mask isn't showing leadership?
No, you're saying that's his thinking. That's the president's thinking.
Oh, that's his thinking.
Right. Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Joe?
He doesn't need to wear a mask. He doesn't need to wear a mask.
Unbelievable. Joe,
Superman,
to you, Joe?
Len.
He does need
Superman. Joe, what happened to you? You've been a great newsman your entire career, and now as you near retirement, you're like, woohoo. I mean, we got to send a wellness check down to South Carolina and see what's up with you. Sign of weakness if the president wears a mask. Well, there's a good one. Hey, we're just getting going, and just 100 days until Christmas. Boy, our associate producer Anthony already has his Santa hat on, and he's hanging candy canes around his apartment in New Jersey. When we get back, was that guy making bombs, and there's a story at home? What a crazy story. We'll check it out coming up next.
You know, the biggest names in music are on the road to our iHeartRadio Music Festival. Back for its 10th year, our 2020 iHeartRadio Music Festival, live this Friday and Saturday. The biggest names in music all on one stage. Alicia Keys, Bon Jovi, Coldplay, Keith Urban, Thomas Rhett, Usher, and more. The show kicks off 9 p.m. Experience the show anywhere, live on the iHeartRadio or watch live on the CW app. It's brought to you locally by Splat Rebellious Hair Care.
So yesterday this came up, and we decided to try it today. So at 8:20, Noam, we're going to teach Natalie a Yiddish word.
Okay.
So I just think this is really gripping entertainment.
I'm looking forward to it.
Doesn't get
you
any
are,
better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Staten Island, and I was around a lot of people who used Yiddish words, and I always thought they were fascinating. I love them.
They're just
fun words.
They are. You know, verklempt, you know, the stuff you hear on SNL.
Schmaltz.
And what's the what?
Schmaltz, right?
That's Schmaltz. Yeah, that's fat.
Chicken fat.
I know, but that was chicken a... But that's such a better word than chicken fat.
It is. Well, that's the thing, is the words are just so descriptive. For example, this came up because yesterday I was talking about a phone call I received during the show, and I said it was from a relative, and I said it was a makatunim, and, you know, Noam knows what that means. And it's just a long way, you know, if you have to describe that your son's wife's mother, you know,
right.
It just takes too long. So you just say makatunim, and everyone knows what you're talking about. It's your in-laws, whatever. So I'm going to get another word today. And so I said to, you know, this sent Joe into fits of hysteria. I said, are you going to teach us some Greek Orthodox words? And Joe started laughing, and you said, well, Greek Orthodox is a religion. It's anyway, so one of our listeners, Ken, sent me a list of Greek words, which I can't say on the radio.
Why not? Nobody knows what they mean.
No.
Let me just ask you, is it the G-bomb in Greek?
The G-bomb.
G-bomb. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe no one in my house used that.
Yeah. No, he sent me a word, which basically he says means F-U. So, but it starts with a G.
Okay. Well, send that to me. I'd like to know. I'll throw it off at my parents.
You want to know Greek curse words?
Yeah, tell me.
I'll send you. And there's another one involving the S-bomb and whatever.
Well, that one I know. That one I heard a lot. I don't know why, but I did.
Okay. Well, there you go. So this is I don't know what's more interesting, this or the fact that we spent the entire commercial break talking about haircuts. Well, I'm sorry. Our boss doesn't like, we were listening to the commercials intently,
yes.
But at the same time, we were also having a little discussion about the haircut. And Natalie's not getting her haircut for another 2 months?
Yeah,
really?
Why not?
You Rumpelstiltskin?
Who sees me? I figured save the money.
We see you.
I don't care. Well, you guys.
And then Joe said that Noam has the right idea.
Well, it started off because Joe said, "Are you ever going to cut your hair? It's so long."
And you have cut it, so Joe's being really observant.
In July,
and he says, "I'm Biden-esque." He doesn't even. He's known you how many years? He doesn't even know.
But look, come on now, that's real long hair. That's long.
It's longer than mine. Then he asked me what I charge, what I pay for a haircut, and then we were discussing what Sam pays for a haircut. This was great. Gripping stuff.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, on a serious, serious note, Joe, what the hell went on in the story? I mean, I saw the video. This house is on fire, and the authorities show up, and they find bomb-making materials. But they haven't identified who this guy is. They haven't charged him. And there's some indication that he's not playing with a full deck, this guy, which I guess is obvious from what's going on.
There could be a lot that we don't know here. I mean, the reason they didn't identify him because if, you know, all of a sudden the guy's first name is Mohammed, then all of a sudden things, you know, oh my God, it's terrorist. And it could just be some wacko that's trying to make bombs at home, doesn't have any plans on, you know, bombing anybody. He's just, I don't know.
He's just
really
collecting
don't know
fertilizer.
Anything.
Is that what you're saying? He's just collecting fertilizer in his apartment?
It's a home experiment. He's probably bored. You know, he's quarantined.
He's locked out.
What can I do? Some people go.
There's another unfortunate
diet,
circumstance
exercise,
from COVID.
Yeah. Some people take guitar lessons. Some people make bombs. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
And you always love it that the neighbors, you know, they're like, well, he always had his shades closed. We didn't really know.
Right.
You know?
Well, we're going to find out because we sent Alice out to a story, and we'll hear from her later in the 9 o'clock hour. But Alice, Dr. Rossini will report. But here's John Miller, our buddy, the terrorism expert at NYPD.
The chemicals separately are what they are, but taken together, they could assemble an explosive device.
Well, that's there you go.
There were books about military explosives, booby traps, and other things.
Well, I think we're starting to build a little case
there
here,
was,
huh?
materials found that raised some concern. That included a number of chemicals, a number of packages, a number of books and manuals.
Great. This is on 19th Street, not far from where I grew up, in Astoria near Astoria Park, and that's kind of scary. So we'll have Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene, and we'll get to the bottom of this. And Joe, let us know if they charge this guy or if they identify this guy. I mean, obviously, it's a lot going on here.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so that's the story there. We'll continue to follow it, but right now it's time for the latest news headlines. Other than that, or maybe in addition to that, here's Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
No, you got that covered. Let's go to the school story this morning. It's back to school in New York City, sort of today. Remote learning begins for the city's 1 million students ahead of in-person learning that starts Monday, and that's going to be the big test. The teachers are continuing to protest. They are also a lot of questions about whether or not there's going to be enough teachers when this in-person learning begins next week. The mayor says they have an extra 2,000 teachers ready to go, but a lot of people say you're going to need more than that. Get ready to go back to work, Len. Mayor de Blasio says the city is continuing to recover, and businesses need to make plans to get their workers back in the office.
Wait a second. I'm not working? Are you giving it in? I'm working hard. I'm working here, huh?
Yeah, well, you're going to start working back there in the studio. Listen to the mayor.
I think employers should start at least making those plans now, getting ready to bring back those who can, within the rules, bring back more. I think it's a good thing to do.
Bring back Berman. Bring back Berman. We want him in the studio. Get him out of his office.
Just get back to me when you have the vaccine, and we'll do it. That's
that
all.
Stupid
There's
vaccine.
Plenty of room for you here, by the way.
Stupid so. Vaccine? Really, Joe?
Well, look at Len. In terms of you getting a vaccine, you're not going to get a vaccine until probably June of next year.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll see you after that, maybe.
Be in your house.
If it works.
All right. You know what you can do? You can trick or treat in New York. His Highness, the governor, says he is not going to ban it.
You have neighbors. If you want to go knock on your neighbor's door, God bless you. I'm not going to tell you not to. If you want to go for a walk with your child through the neighborhood.
What a benevolent dictator he is. So enjoy Halloween. Indoor dining begins in the city 2 weeks from today, and restaurants may be charging you a little extra for the service. City Council voting today to add a 10% surcharge onto the bill. They say it's going to help their restaurants. I don't know how that's going to help, but Councilman Joe Borelli says the need to ask customers to help pay for the recovery. President Trump continues to insist coronavirus will disappear even if there is no vaccine. Speaking at an ABC town hall event, also disputed the idea that he downplayed the severity of the outbreak. He said he actually upplayed it by banning travel from China. And finally, listen to this, guys. Young New Yorkers have a big misunderstanding about the Holocaust. I don't know if you saw the story, but a new survey finds nearly 20%, these are young New Yorkers, believe Jews caused the Holocaust. 60% did not know that 6 million Jews were killed. 58% can't name a single concentration camp, and 34% believe the number of Jews killed has been greatly exaggerated. Researchers with the Conference on Jewish Material Claim Against Germany carried out the study. They call the results shocking and saddening.
Well, I would assume a lot of that just has to do with time. I think as time marches on, obviously the students aren't getting a great history lesson at school. So as time marches on, things fade. That's the only explanation I could give you on that.
Yeah, they don't teach it. I know my kid, who's my oldest one, who's a senior, there has not been any lessons on the Holocaust through his 12 years of school, and there probably won't be.
I'm trying to think back to when I went to school. I don't think it ever came up in my home a lot, but I don't think it ever came up in school.
Really?
That's surprising, because I'll tell you, my children, ever since early in grade school, every single year, there's some form of a unit that goes revolves around the Holocaust, whether they're reading a book.
That's interesting.
Or, I mean, every single year.
Wow. That's really interesting. Interesting story. No, that's fascinating, Joe. And I wonder if that would, I can't think of anything, the scope of the Holocaust, but I would assume if you ask them about the dropping of the H-bomb or ask them about, I don't know. I'm not sure young people know much about anything. Or study it, or
right.
maintain it, or retain it. All right, thanks, Joe. Coming up next, the president faces some tough questions from voters, and forget about the tapes. He says he upplayed the virus. No downplaying. I start every day by getting over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. I consume 31 whole ripened fruits and veggies all at once. How? Well, the 10 servings are all inside Balance of Nature's fruits and veggie capsules. Balance of Nature is offering you 35% off any first preferred order, plus free shipping with promo code WOR until the end of the month. Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies are real, whole ripened fruits and veggies ground into a capsule, providing up to 10 or more servings of the nutrients you need to help your immune system stay strong. Give them a call. They'll even put you in touch with a free health coach to help you get set up on how much you should be taking and how you're feeling throughout the week. Call them, 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. They'll take an additional 35% off your first order with promo code WOR. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code WOR to get 35% off your first preferred order. Shipped to you absolutely free with promo code WOR. Well, Joe just had a very interesting news story about how young people just don't know the details of the Holocaust, and almost saying his kids haven't learned it in school. And Natalie was saying it's part of the curriculum in New Jersey. And I just looked up from the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, 15 states require Holocaust education as part of their secondary school curricula. So have your kids reached high school yet? No, maybe that's why they haven't.
One of them's in high school, yeah.
Yeah. So 15 states, including New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, do require a Holocaust. In fact, the state of Texas just passed a law that has to be part of their educational process in Texas as well. So it's just interesting, you know, that the young people might not know anything about it. And I just thought, well, one has to do with schooling, and the other has to do with how long ago it happened. But obviously, you know, many states do require it in high school.
You know, it's not shocking because then we hear about how they don't know a whole lot about American history. So then you take right. it on a global scale. It's not surprising to hear they may not have learned about that as well.
I'll bet you if you went to those same kids and asked them, who's the vice president of the United States, you'd be shocked at the answers.
But they could tell you who the number one YouTuber is today and how many followers.
Oh, they could. Influencers and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so... Well, Trump was, give him credit, he went into Philadelphia on ABC, and I wouldn't expect that to be like going on Fox and Friends, which was kind of funny. Did you hear that story that he was on Fox and Friends yesterday, you know, forever? You know, he just stays on there yakking on the phone. And I guess he said to the host that I'm going to come on every week, and I guess the host said, well, we really haven't worked that out yet.
No.
We don't know if we want you. No, they didn't say the last part, but we'll get back to you on that, Prez.
You know, did you watch any of this thing in Philadelphia last night? I'm surprised. It makes me think that the campaign may be in trouble, that they would agree to this ABC town hall, walking into the hornet's nest that is liberal ABC. And I feel like for a lot of the night, if you saw some of these questions, he was really set up. And I'm surprised that they would go along with George Stephanopoulos and do this. It makes me think that they are in trouble in places like Pennsylvania.
Now, what do you, when you say set up?
Well, here's one of the questions, and we don't have it, but I'll just read it because the answer almost doesn't matter. But here was one of the questions. Why do you keep talking about Democrat states and Democratic cities? They're American states and American cities. I mean, if that is not a set up question, nothing
that's
is.
That's a good question. What do you mean a set up? That's an excellent question.
It's a liberal question through and through. It's trying to make him look bad, that he's not a unifier and all those things. And many of the questions throughout the night were like that.
Is he not president of all the people?
But the thing is, he ignored the sharpness of the question. He just went ahead with his little talking points, and I thought he did a good job. And as I was watching this, I said to myself, Joe Biden could not do this.
Well, that's true.
First of all, if he did, they'd give him softball questions anyway. Mr. Biden, what's your favorite fruit?
Pablum.
It's great,
you know,
food,
what?
By the way.
That's so typical. I just love the way he said, "Oh, he did a great job, and much better than Biden." Obviously Obama wasn't any good, and Hillary would have been worse. I mean, your talking points are just so obvious. But I think that's a great question. Is he not president of all the people? And could you honestly say that he behaves as if he's president of all the people, not just Republicans and Democrats, versus left? Come on, Noam. Open your eyes and ears.
Again, this was a setup through and through. I am shocked that he did it. You'll hear from some of the audio. I mean, just, he went into this battleground state, but the wrong place to do it is on ABC. And like Joe said, I think he handled some of these, what are kind of obnoxious questions, pretty well.
All right. So here's the head scratcher, because everyone's heard the Woodward tape.
To be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
And he admitted that he's a cheerleader for the country, so he played it down. And he definitely played it down, except last night.
Well, I didn't downplay it. I actually, in many ways, I upplayed it in terms of action. My action was very strong.
Yeah,
because what I did was, with China, I put a ban on. With Europe, I put a ban on.
So he upplayed it. He didn't downplay it.
All right.
Upplayed.
You know, he answered questions for hours on an end, something we have not seen Joe Biden do. And, of course, you're ignoring the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris messed up stuff yesterday as well, but you're not playing that tape.
No, I'll get to that. It's in the
yeah.
Do you look ahead to see what we're talking about this morning? 7:50 this morning. Tune in with your own both ears, and we'll have Harris and Biden.
Lynn,
I'm not ignoring
that,
it.
That soundbite in perspective. I mean, you're ignoring a key part here, which is typical of people like you. He said, "I upplayed it in terms of my action,"
but he really didn't. Joe, come on, you're just making excuses for him. He was late on the updraw when he banned the flights. He did not ban them from Europe. He totally has botched the mask thing from day one until this day. Still, I mean, I had this big signing at the White House yesterday. Of course, he wasn't wearing a mask, and he doesn't social distance because he you have to lead by example. And he is certainly not led by example. And once again, he said, well, it's going to disappear.
And it's probably going to go away now a lot faster because of the vaccine. It would go away without the vaccine, George, but it's going to go away a lot faster.
Away without the vaccine?
Sure. Over a period of time. Sure. With time. It goes
and many
away.
Deaths.
That was my same reaction. I didn't hear that cut. But as soon as he said it would go away even without a vaccine, I'm going,
look,
what?
His Warp Speed program has gotten these pharmaceutical companies to work in a way that they never have before. And to think, look, this virus landed here back in March, and we're talking at the end of next month, one of these vaccine trials will be over, and we'll be rolling up our sleeves early next year. That is really unbelievable if you think about any other drugs that have come to market and how long that takes to happen. And that is the president's actions, no doubt. The billions of dollars, the incentives he put there for the pharmaceutical companies to work as fast as they could.
All I can say is I hope you're right. So what is this? He compared himself with Churchill here?
He was very brave because he was at the top of a building. It was very well known that he was standing on buildings and they were bombing. And he says everyone's going to be safe. I don't think that's being necessarily honest. And yet I think it's being a great leader.
Yeah, when I think of great, I wouldn't even go there. Anyway, as far as the masks.
The concept of a mask is good, but it also does, you're constantly touching it, you're touching your face, you're touching plates. There are people that don't think masks are good.
Yeah, and he was asked who, and he said waiters. Okay. a lot more to come up. When we return, Governor Cuomo, will he ban trick-or-treating? He has some thoughts about that. In 8:05, Sean Spicer will join us. There's nothing more important than your health and mobility. You should be able to do what you want when you want. That's why you need to make an appointment with my friends at Trinity Rehab. They will restore your freedom to live your life pain-free. Not your father's physical therapy. This is cutting-edge, state-of-the-art stuff. Trinity Rehab has the EPAT machine. This is FDA-approved, non-surgical, acoustic, pressure wave technology, similar to what's used to break up kidney stones. It breaks up scar tissue, enhances healing, gets rid of pain fast. It's effective for conditions like back or neck pain, tennis elbow, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, and knee pain. In just 3 5-minute sessions, you can be virtually pain-free. It's so effective that Olympic athletes and a New York professional football team use EPAT for their injuries. And there's no prescription needed to get started. With locations all over New Jersey, call Trinity Rehab today, 800-518-0977. That's 800-518-0977, or visit their website at trinity-rehab.com. That's trinity-rehab.com.
Morning.
And Michael has the day off. Noam Layden is here. We have some terrific guests lined up this morning. We have Spicy coming up after the news at 7 o'clock. The president's first press secretary, Sean Spicer, will get his take on everything the president said last night. At 7:35, we're going to go to Jerusalem. Jordana Miller, the fine reporter for ABC News, will get the Israelis' perspective on what was signed at the White House yesterday. But also, they've got a big lockdown coming up because of coronavirus. So a lot going on in Israel. At 8:05, Dr. Gregory Poland from the Mayo Clinic. We'll hear what he has to say. Congressman Peter King joins us at 8:35. There's a holdup on some of the funds going to first responders. We'll get the latest from Washington. Charlie Gasparino will join us at 8:50 from the Fox Business Channel. He had a really interesting story yesterday about how A-Rod is still trying to stay alive and trying to buy the Mets. Should it fall through with Steve Cohen, A-Rod has a backup plan, and Gasparino's the one who broke the story. We'll talk to Charlie at 8:50. And then at 9:05, Gridlock Sam. Sam Schwartz, traffic in the city. Will it ever return to normal? Do you want it to return to normal? Apparently, there's a lot of drag racing going on in the city because of lack of cars on the road. So Gridlock Sam will join us as well. So 45 days until Halloween, and the governor says, well, you know what? We were wondering about this the other day. Would he ban trick-or-treating? But as I think Joe referred to him earlier as His Holiness or His Eminence.
Yeah.
Here's what he had to say to News 12 on Long Island.
I would not ban trick-or-treaters going door-to-door. I don't think that's appropriate.
Oh, okay.
That's you like, have neighbors. If you want to go knock on your neighbor's door, God bless you. I'm not going to tell you not to. If you want to go for a walk with your child through the neighborhood.
Well, there you go. We'll have some trick-or-treating in 45 days. Aren't you excited by that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like banning Christmas. You can't outlaw a holiday. Kids, you know, even if you try to, kids are still going to go knocking door-to-door for candy no matter what you do.
Do you remember when Christy banned Halloween?
During Sandy, right?
I think it was Irene, actually.
Or Irene. I knew it was one of them.
And my kids were super young. They still remember that, and they'll still say, do you remember when Chris Christie canceled Halloween? I think you were five. I'm like, how do you remember that? It was so devastating to them that they couldn't go trick-or-treating that it's like a memory that will never be erased.
And kids hold a grudge, huh?
Oh, they do. If they if they ever met him in person, I think it would be the first thing they say to him.
Really?
Yeah. Why did you cancel Halloween?
Even before why he sat on the beach that was closed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And why did he say he didn't know anything about Bridgegate? You got to have priorities with your kid.
No, the Halloween is most
Halloween. All right. How about now? De Blasio wants people to return to their offices.
I think employers should start at least making those plans now, getting ready to bring back those who can, within the rules, bring back more. I think it's a good thing to do.
Well, this is not news to Natalie, who's been coming to the office every day. Not news to Noam Layden, who's filling in for Michael. He's obviously in the office as well. So what do you guys think of that plan?
Well, you know, you said before that the president should lead by example by wearing a mask. Well, I think Len Berman should lead by example by coming back to work. Get back to the office.
Yeah.
It's time to come back. It's safe here. We're doing
come
okay.
Come back, Lynn.
We got an empty studio for you, a microphone. It's ready to go.
I think it's
time to leave the house.
I took over Len's seat since he's gone, and I really like it here, so you could stay home. I enjoy the space that you used to occupy.
Well, we got another studio. We got plenty of studios. So we'll give you one.
I'm sorry. Were you guys saying something? my audio cut out for a second.
Yeah. So here you go, your chance to lead by example. Think how big that would be if Len Berman came back to work because the mayor asked him to.
That wouldn't be a no.
We just got a ruling. Well, Yeah, there were obviously protocols in the offices. We were talking about this on the air the other day with Natalie. You know, you got to wear masks and only a certain number of people allowed in the elevators. And I still think it's a great and noble exercise to try to get people to get back to work. But I really think you're not going to see that wholeheartedly until
the vaccine
comes around.
So is that a no? You're not coming back? That sounds a roundabout way of saying, no, you're not coming back to the studio. You're not going to lead by example.
You're conflating stuff. Why is that leading by example?
Because you're a well-known personality. You come back to work. People say, hey, Len Berman says it's safe to come back to work. That means I can go back to work.
Well, I guess I don't think it's safe until they have a vaccine. So I think you answered your own question. So when they have a nice vaccine that Joe Bartlett will refuse to take like a flu shot.
No, he's never coming back. No, you will never see him at 32 Avenue of the Americas again.
No, we won't.
Well, that is a possibility. All right, we return. Spicy's going to join us. The president's first press secretary, Sean Spicer, will check in. It's coming up after the news with Joe Bartlett. It's 7 o'clock.